I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. This is, from 9 to 11 o'clock, the story behind the story. Truth behind the headlines, the lying mainstream media, and the ridiculous two-party propaganda. I've got a big, long clip about that that I found today. It's 5 years old, and it's a long clip, but I think it's all worth playing. I'll get to later on in the show. This is Central Mississippi's safe space for independent thinkers. A lot of times we're called out. We're not playing the game. We're not always down with the team, alienated by the rest of society, but you've got a home here, so welcome to the show. So the Jussie Smollett case continues on with its twists and turns. This was a quick one, I will say. When was this? He appeared on Good Morning America. Was that last Monday? I thought about going back and listening to that clip today. I don't know. I'm going to bother to spend the time just to hear the, you know, kind of the feeling around what he was saying and the reception he was given by Robin Roberts on ABC's Good Morning America, where they commiserated and pontificated about the state of, oh, what is wrong with us in 2019? Why are these things happening? And we know exactly how this thing actually transpired. So I don't have a whole lot to offer that. Apparently, Jussie Smollett has been taken into custody. His two Nigerian guys have flipped on him. I find it a little interesting. When you find out that it's one thing to be black guys that are the ones that he picked to have attacked him. It's another thing to say they were Nigerians. Now, I don't know how long these guys have been in this country. Have you ever known a Nigerian? They have a very distinct African accent in their speech. If I had thought about it before I came in the studio, I would have practiced it and tried to do it for you because, as I said before, I worked with several Nigerians in the restaurants. I had a kitchen manager, and when I ran a restaurant in Little Rock, Arkansas that was a Nigerian, the guy was a stud. I mean, he got work out of people. He was good at his job. But they have a very distinct speaking style. The reason I even mention that is because I find it interesting that Jussie was apparently on the phone with his manager at 2:30 in the morning when this attack took place, and the manager heard the two people say, "This is MAGA country," and hurl the racial insults at him and the cuss words and, you know, everything. He didn't notice it was a black Nigerian voice. I mean, I don't know. A lot of Trump supporters, supposedly white supremacist, racist Trump supporters, that would sound much like what I would imagine two Nigerian black guys would sound like, but I digress. I thought I'd come at this Jussie Smollett thing from a slightly different take, because I think maybe we shouldn't be too hard on him. Yes, he should get in trouble. He's done something wrong. But, you know, if there's a child that's raised in a cult, for instance, and they go out and they commit some kind of a crime or they have some aberrant behavior because of their being raised by a cult, we have a little bit of room in our heart to at least understand what they did and why they did it. It's not necessarily that this biological person is necessarily bad, but that they were raised in an environment like a cult that caused them to do things that most normal human beings would never do. I mean, I would imagine all of us would at least understand it and be some sympathetic to a child that was put in that situation, and the fact that they were not trained to behave appropriately, what the rest of us consider normal. Jussie Smollett is a member of a cult. He was created by the leftist race hustlers, the division of the left, who taught him how to find racism everywhere and victimhood everywhere. Now, just think about Jesse's situation. And this is why I think I'm pretty accurate on this. This is a black guy, a black gay guy in the United States of America. What was his lot in life? He was on a successful show. He was one of the stars of it. The rest of the cast was majority black, and it appeared on a major television network owned by a white billionaire. Now, he had attained a level of success here in the United States as a black gay man that 99% of the people in this country will never see. If you were to take him and put him in any country around the world, I don't know if he was making millions. I doubt that seriously. But he had a high-profile show. He was living this celebrity lifestyle. If you were to categorize him, his lifestyle, compared to the rest of the world, where would he be? In the top tenth of 1%, maybe? There's real poverty and problems around the world. So this gay black man had achieved a level of success that would put him probably in the top 10% of the top 1%. And yet, the race hustlers and the cult of the left convinced him that he was in a bad place. That he shouldn't recognize his accomplishments and see them as, wow, this is what the United States is about. Holy cow, I'm a gay black guy, and I'm on the top of the heap right here with a steady job on a major network run by a white billionaire. I'm sure there were white people on the production crew. I'm sure there were white executives, black executives, women, men, everybody working together to put out a product that I guess was profitable, because the show, my understanding, I don't watch the show, but it's been on for several years. He was enjoying the fruits of capitalism. He was enjoying the fruits of inclusion and diversity. As a gay black man, he made it all the way to the top. But the left, the cult of the left, so warped his mind that he couldn't even realize that really what he was an inspiration to people, that he could have used this and said, look, years and years and years ago, the color of my skin might have held me back and I would not be where I was. But America's made these big strides. Years and years and years ago, my sexual identity would have destroyed my career. I would have had to hide it. But we've come a long way towards inclusion. And here I am, a gay black man, on a major television network with a starring role and a majority black cast. America has made great strides. This is a testament to how wonderful the United States is. But the media and the left and the Democrats created him to think that he needed to portray himself as a victim. With all that success he's gotten, with all the acceptance he's gotten, there were no people out protesting the empire set because he was gay, no picket lines, no boycotts of networks because there's a black show with a black gay. I mean, none of this. Yet he still found homophobia because the left has twisted his mind. Particularly in the last 2 years of Trump, he had to target Trump because the left is a cult. And look, I'm on the record saying it, and I feel compelled to say this every time I deride the left. There are some liberals in my life that I love because they've got very good hearts. They want to help people. But that's not the leadership of the left. The left is about control. It's about authoritarianism. It's about them getting control by taking stuff from one group and giving it to the masses, like some kind of violent authoritarian Robin Hood. There's no courage in that. They're not creating anything. They're allowing the creators to create things, and then they're just scooping the profits off the top and telling a bunch of the mind numb that they'll give it to them. But the left is a cult. And we've never seen it more on display than as they believe more and more things that are not real. Heaven's Gate was that cult that I guess they committed suicide. They were waiting for, was this during the Hale-Bopp comet thing? So as the comet reaches its, I may be conflating different cult groups. But as I kind of recall this, I think that they were saying that that when the Hale-Bopp comet got close, they would all kill themselves, and this was actually a spaceship, and they would be taken. So they became this thing that didn't exist. And the left right now is pointing to Russia. The Russiagate, the Russians hacks, never existed. Trump's a racist and a homophobe and a xenophobe. This is a man who got awards from Jesse Jackson, who's been recognized for his work with inner city kids, who has been doing business all around the world with people of all kinds of ethnicities and all kinds of nationalities. And because he wants border control, I guess that just paints him as a Nazi. And that's what this is. This is a cult. Jussie Smollett is the member of a cult. He needs to pay for his crime. What he did was despicable. But I'm just saying, maybe we should cut him a tiny bit of slack. Because he's been raised by the leftist cult, and he's not alone. It will not end. Got a caller on line. Hey, caller, are you with me?
Yes, how are you, Mike?
Hey, good. Willie, how are you?
I'm fine. That was really before you even came on. I was out working my puzzles like I do every morning. And I was thinking about some of the same thing you were talking about. I frankly was thinking about calling a few friends of mine and telling them exactly what you said. Because, when I was, I had a very nice job and I was doing very well, but things happened that I kind of called to happen, okay? Where even though I wasn't totally wrong, but the fact is if I would have just handled maybe a little differently.
Sure.
Everything would have continued to roll on correctly. But I was thinking, I said, now these people who I told you I was about to call, I was going to tell them, I said, now look at your brothers and look at your sisters. And they're all doing very, very well, compared to what we would have back in the 60s, early 70s maybe. We wouldn't have been able to accomplish all of these. I said, all of this is the money that they are making now and these high jobs and positions they are in. I said, we've gotten to a point now where, they are, the people I'm talking about, they are stark Democrats. They believe, they're being suppressed. And I want to ask them, how could you feel that way when you look at what our father and mothers went through compared to what we went through.
The left refuses to take a win. They win on issues, but they won't take the win. They push it further. And some of the wins that they get, you and I might not agree with, but, if they get Roe versus Wade and so they've got the right to get, to do abortions, it's still not enough. I mean, now they want to be able to kill the baby after they've delivered it. You know what I mean? They get people to recognize that some people are, are homosexual, and that was really ostracized at one time. We're much more inclusive, much more tolerant of that. I'm somebody who says what you do in your bedroom is really not any of my business, but they become inclusive. So instead of taking that win and just saying, okay, well, we got that discrimination pretty much out of the way, now they want rights for 5-year-old transgender children. It's like they cannot stop. They cannot. The racism issue, as I've said, I was raised really in the 1980s, and the racism issue was almost non-existent. As a child who went to public schools, we didn't have any racial problems. And so that problem was getting solved, but they can't take that. It's got to be, we've got to keep pressing. They can't take a win because as soon as as soon as the people on the left that they pander to realize that these victories are at hand, then they don't need these race hustlers and pimps and leadership that just control people through, fomenting hate. Now, this goes a little bit on both sides, but they lose their relevancy and they can't have that. So they just keep poking the left. Oh, yeah, well, we've made good strides on racial relations, but look over there. There's 16 KKK guys on a march. It's always something. They've got to keep it inflamed to keep any relevance at the top of the Democrats and the left.
There's two other points I want to make very quickly, and then I'll hang up. I thought about I heard this morning on the news that they allowed him to turn himself in, and I said, now compare that to, I think his name is Roger Stone or whoever it was down in Florida where they had these 29 people to come in, dressed up SWAT team coming in to arrest him. Why didn't they give him an opportunity to turn himself in?
Right, I know. That's the first thing I thought, too.
And the second thing is, the Reverend Al Sharpton, I heard him on TV talking about Trump being a racist and things like that. But I said, I remember a few years ago, back when you were saying that you and Trump used to stop and eat together.
Right.
And he's a very good man. That's what made him different now.
Because he's Al Sharpton's a race
over
pimp.
To the Republican Party?
Yeah.
Did that change him?
No. Al Sharpton is one of the worst. He's a race hustler. He is there to foment hate. They're on both sides, but the left does it like no others. Thanks, Willie. I appreciate the call.
All right. I'll see you.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. All right. I got to take a quick break now. What's interesting is, so we found out that Nick Sandman, the kid from the Catholic high school, was not a racist. He didn't confront the Indian. He wasn't smirking. He was, the poor kid was standing still. He's about to prison pound the Washington Post and hopefully the other 50 people his attorneys have contacted who essentially put his life at danger. But we find out that was not a racist Trump, you know, supporter incident. The Jesse Smollett thing is going under. That was not a racist thing. But wait, we've got a new story. Have you seen this thing? Now, I'm not prepared yet to call this a false flag, but what a very, very, very convenient story to break on the same day that everybody realizes the hate crime against Jesse Smollett was bogus. I'll do that when I come back. If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at DanksMillerCorey.com. When the Jesse Smollett case first came out, I thought it stunk. I don't even remember if I even talked about it on the show. You know, I don't do a whole lot of the headlines unless I think they're societally important. 2:30 in the morning, the guy's getting a sandwich. It was sub-zero. He's going to get a sandwich. Chicago is not notoriously known for being MAGA country, for sure. It just, the story stunk. And now we realize, and it's interesting, there's a great book, if you ever want to read something that was a little life-changing to me, just it kind of gave me another tool. It's called Blink. You get a gut feeling. At the beginning of anything, I may have talked about this before, I play poker, and what Blink is about is this, there's a little flash of intuition that you have in a lot of different circumstances. This happens, you know, they talk about first impressions are made on somebody within, I don't know what, the first 3 seconds, 7 seconds, something like that. You get a gut feeling. You know, have you ever been around somebody and you met them and you just went, something's not right about this guy or something's not right about this girl. And then you get to know them and you think, well, maybe I misjudged them. Well, down the road, you find out, yeah, I was right. Person's an absolute freak. We have this intuition, this gut reaction. The problem is we rationalize it away. How it helped me in poker was, you know, a lot of times in poker, when somebody makes a bet at you, you have to try to decide, do they have a strong hand? I need to fold and get out of this hand because they're going to win, or are they bluffing me? And after I got done with Blink, I started to pay attention to that first gut reaction. If somebody did something, I would just I would get a sense of whether or not they were bluffing or whether or not they were strong. And I would start trying to really pay attention to that first feeling and then go with it. Because what happens, particularly in poker, because there's money involved, you think your first gut reaction is, oh, they're bluffing. I'm going to call that and I'm going to win this hand. But then you start thinking, I don't know, though, that was a lot of money. And then you start thinking and overthinking and trying to process everything. If you're not a poker player, you might not know what I'm talking about. But there's a lot of logic. You start replaying the entire hand. Would he have done this? Would he have done that? That kind of stuff. But I found when I got that gut reaction to call a bet because I just felt like someone was bluffing immediately, I won probably 80 to 90% of the time. I was wrong sometimes. But anyway, I had this same gut reaction to the Jussie Smollett case. Now, I don't know what my gut feeling about this thing is, but it sure is convenient if nothing else. On the day that Jussie Smollett's story completely falls apart to the point where he is taken into custody by Chicago PD for a hate crime hoax, this story comes out. A Coast Guard lieutenant who was arrested last week is a, quote, domestic terrorist, unquote, who drafted an email discussing biological attacks and had what appeared to be a hit list that included prominent Democrats and media figures, prosecutors said in court papers. Christopher Paul Hassan is due to appear Thursday in federal court on Maryland after his arrest on gun and drug offenses, but prosecutors say the charges are the proverbial tip of the iceberg. Now, it goes down into the story. And again, I'm not prepared. As I said, I don't have a gut feeling on this. This may be real. There are freaks out in the world. There are real racists out there. But if there were so many racists that racism was a huge problem in our society right now, they probably wouldn't have to make so many of them up. I went through a laundry list the other day of about 25 incidents in the last 2 years that made the national media that were hoaxes. If racism was so prevalent in our society, you wouldn't need to make things up. You could just cherry pick from all the incredible racism that we witness every day. The problem is it's not there. So I'm not saying that this is not some freak who is mentally deranged. I do think it's interesting. Listen to the description of this guy. Let's see. Hassan, who works at the Coast Guard's headquarters in Washington, had espoused extremist views for years, according to prosecutors. Court papers detail a 2017 draft email in which Hassan wrote that he was, quote, dreaming of a way to kill almost every last person on the earth and pondering how he might be able to acquire anthrax and toxins to create botulism or deadly influenza. In the same email, here it comes, Hassan described an interesting idea that included, quote, biological attacks followed by an attack on food supply, as well as bombing and sniper attacks. In September 2017, Hassan sent himself a draft letter that he had written to a, here it comes, neo-Nazi leader, and identified himself as a white nationalist for over 30 years and advocated for focused violence in order to establish a white homeland. This is the perfect narrative story. The pieces of this is, I'm just telling you, it's not that I know this is a false flag yet, but listen to how convenient all the narratives. They even throw Russia into this one. Hassan also expressed admiration for Russia. Quote, looking to Russia with hopeful eyes or any land that despises the West's liberalism, he wrote in the draft email. Prosecutors say during the past 2 years, he has regularly searched online for pro-Russian as well as neo-Nazi literature. Now let's get to the hit list that he was harboring here. Hassan's, I've never heard his name said, so I'm not sure how you pronounce it, but Hassan's list of prominent Democrats included House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, and presidential hopefuls Kristen Gillibrand, Elizabeth Warren, Cory Booker, and Kamala Harris. The list, created in Microsoft Excel spreadsheet, also included mentions of John Podesta, who was Hillary Clinton's campaign chairman, along with AOC Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Maxine Waters, former Representative Beto O'Rourke, MSNBC's Chris Hayes and Joe Scarborough, and CNN's Chris Cuomo and Van Jones, according to the court filing. It ticks off all of the marks, right? Just when we find out there weren't two MAGA hat wearing Trump supporting racist in Chicago that night with Jussie Smollett, as soon as that is debunked, up comes a new one. Now let me see. I got to be honest with you. I read through this. This just came out this morning, or when I first saw it. I haven't seen that they located a red Trump MAGA hat yesterday, but maybe that's still coming. As I said, I don't know that this is a false flag necessarily, but isn't it convenient? It ticks off all the boxes just to let everybody know, hey, even though these guys that attacked Jussie Smollett was a con job and a hoax and didn't actually exist, we've got to be on our guard because there still are neo-Nazi white supremacists out there and they're targeting the DNC and Democrats. Now, What rings a bell about that story, too? It made me remember, news moves so fast, about all the letters that were sent to the Democrats, remember? And the media people, the mail bombs. Remember Caesar Sayoc? He was the one that was, if I'm recalling this right, I can't keep up with all the race hustling hoaxes out there. Wasn't Caesar Sayoc the guy who mailed it? Didn't they find his van that was covered in Trump stickers? He had targeted Maxine Waters, I think Chuck Schumer. Who all did he target? And I need to go back. I mean, if you remember the story better than me, call in 601-879-0002. But there were so many convenient things about Caesar Sayoc. He fit the narrative, too. He was targeting the Democrats. He was targeting the media. Remember the cowards at CNN? Ah! They ran out of the studio because they got an envelope. And they reported it. Oh, look at us. We're evacuating. Yeah, it was made for TV drama of more of this Trump loving racist stuff. And that it never made sense with Caesar Sayoc. I don't know if it makes sense with this Coast Guard guy. I listed off 20 hoaxes that have been going over in the last 2 years, and now Jussie Smollett is in prison. This is mental illness. This is a cult. And these are false flags. I don't know about this Coast Guard guy. Maybe a freak. He may be a neo-Nazi. Who knows? But it's convenient. The timing of that story coming out on the day that Jussie Smollett's story falls apart is, at best, convenient. I'll be right back. All night
with the king. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
I was looking up, trying to recall the details of the Caesar Sayoc. You remember the MAGA bomber? We certainly haven't heard a peep about that. Now, maybe he's just languishing in jail and they've got all the evidence they want. But boy, he was a convenient person to have mailed off. And strangely enough, this rabid Trump-supporting Nazi, Caesar Sayoc, sent off a bunch of bogus bombs that had no chance of exploding. They weren't really explosive devices. They were just enough to get him into huge trouble, but not actually cause any damage. I mean, I'm just saying. And as I look at this stuff, you know, I'm trying to do searches, and unfortunately I'm having to use the G-word search engine just because I haven't. It's just the first thing that popped up. It's the default here on the studio browser. Guess I need to change that for my show. I use DuckDuckGo to at least more privacy. But I can't. I'm not finding any alternative news sources. I've got The Guardian, USA Today, NPR, Fox News, ABC. These are all recounting it. Now, I did kind of look. I was trying to look up and see if, you know, what the problems with the van were. I can't even recall this. News moves so fast, I can't keep all the details of every single day and every news story together. So I remember the van, you know, none of the stickers were even faded on this van. It was really done quite eloquently as far as painting him as this rabid Trump supporter mailing package bombs to somebody. But, you know, maybe it's the real deal. Maybe he had just put the stickers on. I mean, maybe. I mean, it just, when things fit the narrative too perfectly and the entire mainstream media, including Fox News is bogus too. When the whole mainstream media jumps on this stuff, I just start to, my spidey sense goes off. The alarm bells go off. We just saw it with Jussie Smollett. I have a feeling we're probably going to hear about this Coast Guard guy tonight and the fact that he was a neo-Nazi white supremacist hell-bent on the destruction of Maxine Waters and Nancy Pelosi and CNN and all. I mean, the narrative is just going to, this fills the vacuum where the Smollett thing fell on its face. This one fills the vacuum. Right as the Democrats are getting hammered for their ridiculous treatment of Brett Kavanaugh and the whole craziness that went on around his confirmation hearings, that's when Cesar Sayoc, suddenly the rabid Trump-supporting racist, starts lashing out with his fake bombs. They were fake. They weren't going to do anything. There was not even any danger to anybody. And I've just learned enough to realize that you cannot put anything past these people. Now, you can come up to the studio right now and look. There's nothing on my head. No tinfoil hat, no nothing. Now, when 5G rolls out, I may be wearing a tinfoil hat like every day, all the time. But for right now, no tinfoil hat. I'm not the biggest conspiracy guy you ever have met, but I'll tell you right now, conspiracies exist. You had a government. An entire federal government. This includes FBI and everybody at the leadership of it, CIA and everybody at the leadership of it, Department of Justice and everybody in the leadership of it, the Bush administration and everybody in the leadership of it, and the Obama administration and everybody in the leadership of it. They all covered up the Saudi involvement of 9/11 for 13 years, along with the media. You mean to tell me there was not one person? This report about the Saudi Arabians being involved in 9/11 was pretty widely known. It was one of the worst-kept secrets, although they kept the documents classified. You mean to tell me that not one member of the media happened to get wind from one staffer somewhere along the line that said, oh, my God, we've got some documents, some classified documents that implicate the Saudi Arabians as the perpetrators of 9/11. Nobody within all the D.C. circles that knew this information, and it's a lot of them. And again, I stress to you, it was in Republican and Democrat administrations they withheld this vital information from the American people, and so did the media. Now, people, I, the funny thing is, I felt this way 10 years ago, but the chances of people thinking I was some kind of a crazy, insane guy, oh, Mike, there's no deep state. Yeah, there's no shadow government. There are no people behind the scenes. There are no conspiracies. That was people's reaction 10 years ago. Even after watching things like, you know, JFK, a sitting president, murdered in broad daylight in Dallas, Texas, in front of the entire world, and they just never solved the crime. But 10 years ago, people would have thought, oh, you're just insane to think that they would just plant this story about this Coast Guard guy. But I think they have had to play their hand a little too hard during the Trump administration. I think that people have seen the declassified documents now, the Saudi Arabian involvement in 9/11, realize it was a big deal, it was covered up. They've seen the fact that we had this huge financial crisis in 2008, yet conveniently enough, not one single banker went to jail. Actually, there were one or two for little bit parts in the whole thing, but everybody seems to have done just fine from that. All the big bank presidents and everybody landed on their feet with massive bonuses. I mean, I think that where 10 years ago people would have really judged me and thought, oh, "This I can't listen to this guy, he's just crazy." I think people now understand that you are being fed narratives through the media, whether it is the Russia collusion hoax, the Russians hacked the DNC hoax, whether it's the Jussie Smollett hoax, the other 20 hoaxes that I told you about that the media reported breathlessly on. The problem is where I'm trying to take that willingness for people to understand that those things happen. I'm trying to take you to the next level. The Syrian bombing hoax. Three times we fell for this hoax of Syria gassing its own people. We are in the midst right now of falling for the Iran hoax. See, I was talking to Brian off air earlier, and I said, well, I read off a list of 20 hoaxes that were reported by the media, and then they found out that They were all hoaxes. We've got the Jussie Smollett thing. It's a hoax. I would hope that some people on the left would start to wake up and go, oh my gosh, what are they doing? This is insane. And you would hope people would wake up to that. But as I told Brian, I said, I don't have a whole lot of faith in that because people on the right constantly fall for the same playbook too. All these leaders, they're mean to their own people. We need to take them out. And then we end up spending trillions of dollars. We lose tens of thousands of our own troops, either to death or dismemberment or PTSD, suicide. I mean, yet the next war that comes up, Republicans get right in line like well-behaved children. Oh, but this is a good war. This is going to be the good one because my guy said this was the good one. So I don't know if people can catch on to hoaxes, but, you know, I'm trying to just drop breadcrumbs here where you start to at least question, where when you watch the news and you hear about things, you at least tilt your head a little bit and go, what? That doesn't make any sense. That's odd. That's how I woke up. And so I'm trying to replicate that for other people. You're trapped in this two-party system. You're trapped in this mainstream media system thinking that Fox News is giving you the real scoop. Yeah, those liars at CNN and those crazy people over at MSNBC. I'm a Fox News viewer. I know what's really going on, do you? No. As Mark Twain said, those who don't read, you know, don't pay attention to the news are uninformed. Those who do are misinformed. I'll be right back. All night
with the king. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul. You're on your own.
Looks like police are going to be holding a press briefing on the Jussie Smollett thing in Chicago. And they bring some of that if it's going on at the right timing during this show. You know, if there was so much racism in this country, you wouldn't need to make so much stuff up. You could just report on the racism as it happened, but it seems like they've got to make it up. The funny thing is, there is real hatred and racism. There is real xenophobia and homophobia and white supremacy in the world. And I'm going to tell you about a story next hour that I will say 99% of people in this country have never heard about, but your tax dollars are actually paying for it. That's right. The United States and another foreign policy success is propping up actual neo-Nazis. And it is as blatant as it could be to everyone in the world except for you, the American citizen, because our media does not report on it. And I'll talk about that next hour. I don't have time to get into it now. It's stunning stuff to me. But I'm telling you, Jussie Smollett thing is just, it's interesting to me because I just think he deserves a little bit of sympathy. He needs to be held accountable. Don't get me wrong. And what he did was absolutely disgusting. He should pay a price. But he was led there. He was led to this by a cult. The cult of the leftist that teach the left now, that used to be the bastion of love and tolerance and free speech and civil rights, is now the nexus of hate, of conflict, of jealousies. And it's very naked. Now, a lot on the left has been based on jealousy before. You know, the idea that liberals have that I love is that they want to help the poor and the downtrodden and the little guy. Man, I'm with you. I want to help the poor, the downtrodden, and the little guy too. I'm just not prepared to use government force to take it from somebody else. There's a lot of really great people in this country willing to step up for issues to help the little guy. Appeal to them. Make your case. Did you see what happened after 9/11? Well, they raised like $1 billion after Katrina. Did you see what the American people rose up and did? You didn't need a gun to accomplish that.
You want to do some great things for the poor in this country? Go do them. Bernie Sanders raised, what, $6 million the other day? Seems like y'all got a lot of money sloshing around. You've got a bunch of hedge fund billionaires supporting Hillary Clinton. Why aren't they fixing the ills? Why do you need to use the guns that the federal government owns to force people to do these things? You might find people pretty receptive to helping out if you just make a good case. But the left is a cult now. It is the cult that sends Antifa into the streets to fight fascism with fascism. To protect people from hate by suppressing free speech. The left is authoritarian. It wants to beat you over the head, not convince you of anything. They can't even handle a debate. They must silence the other side. They've been built into this frenzy against Donald Trump based on the lies of the media and the lies of Democratic leadership to justify violence because they actually feel they're making the argument like, should we kill baby Hitler? It's a cult. These people have been brainwashed. Now, there's brainwashing on both sides. I talk about it every day. But as far as this Jussie Smollett was a victim of brainwashing. He's an idiot. You know I'm being a little sarcastic here. Don't get too mad at me. It's time for him to pay the price. But I'm telling you, the left is a cult, and he was a cult member.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
You tell me that. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. As we heard during the news break, you've got to admire the mainstream media. Boy, they are persistent. They do not give up. They lead the newscast by saying that the police come out and they're just disgusted by this Jussie Smollett thing. He staged this. It was about his pay. It's horrible. They created this, said it happened here in Chicago. I mean, it sounds like a black police chief talking about this, and you can just hear he's just disgusted that this guy tried to pull off this hoax in his city. And you can't blame him. He's got better things to do. He's got a couple of things on his plate in Chicago when it comes to police resources, I'm sure. But boy, right on the heels of reporting that that was a hoax and the hoaxer's been taken into custody and the police realize it was a hoax and that story's falling apart, they follow it with the Southern Poverty Law Center assuring us all that, hey, just because this one wasn't real doesn't mean we don't have a problem. The Southern Poverty Law Center has got to come out and say there's 1,000 hate groups in this country. And it's emboldened by the Trump administration. That story is followed by the story I just covered of the Coast Guard guy that was ready to attack Democrats. I have this clip about how we are all conned into this two-party divide. It's a long clip. It's like 10 minutes. I kind of have a rule here. I never do anything over 4 minutes. Sometimes I'm a health show a little bit more, but I think I'm going to have to play it today because, man, like no other time, particularly to you people on the left. Hey, look, like I said, I love the liberal heart. If you want to help people, I'm right there with you. Let's talk about it. Let's figure out ways to mobilize private citizens in this country to do things for people. I'll tell you right now, some people might get mad at me for this. I keep a few bucks in my car when I pass some of these homeless people sitting on the side of the road. I know some of them may be con men and stuff, but it's sad. I mean, I want people to have good health care. I'm not willing to have a federal agent point a gun at somebody and extract tax money for them to make that happen, but I'm willing to discuss all kinds of other ways we can help people get good health care. I'm for helping people when they fall down. I'm for helping disabled people. I'm for all these things that you're for too, liberals. It's just, I'm not going to use the government to beat somebody else over the head, take their stuff, and give it to another human being. If it's not legal for us to do it as individuals, it shouldn't be legal for the government to do it either. Got a caller on the line. Hey, caller, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
Hey,
what's going on? How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm good. Fired up. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. You know, I agree with you most of the time, about a good 98% of the time.
That's good enough, I guess.
But this 2%, I don't agree with you at all. I don't feel sorry for Jesse Smollett, however you pronounce it.
Smollett. Well, understand, I was being sarcastic in that. I'm just trying to illustrate the point that they've created a cult, and they're preying on people to convince them. I mean, this guy, just think about this. This guy rose to a level of success in this country that puts him in the top 10% of the top 1% of the entire Earth's population. He achieved massive success. He's a black guy on a majority black show. He's a gay guy starring in a show on a major network owned by a white billionaire. And yet all he can think to do is point out racism in this country. I mean, his whole life shows that the problem he's trying to illustrate with this hoax is not keeping everybody down. I mean, he's the perfect illustration of that. Yet this cult of, we've got to point these things out, this cult of hating Donald Trump and calling him whatever you want to call him with no proof, he's just a member of that cult. So, I mean, I'm not necessarily calling for leniency on him at all. I'm just pointing out the fact that people are, look, I'll tell you this. On the right side of things, I used to be in the cult of endless wars. And when I woke up to that and went, oh my God, I have been cheering for the death of innocent people around the world because it made me feel like a patriotic American. And I thought, how twisted is that? And I came out of that. I realized how wrong that was, and the results have been terrible. But I see a lot of people on the right that are good Christian people. They're pro-life people, yet they believe that we need to go in and bomb another country into the Stone Age. So there's all of this stuff. It's political brainwashing of so many people. And it keeps us divided, and it just destroys. It creates nothing, but it keeps this entrenched power with their power. So go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to really interrupt.
Oh, that's okay. I was listening. As I said, 98% of the time I do believe you. But his happy self, he's a grown man.
Yeah, you're right.
And he knew what he was doing.
You're right.
And the brainwashing that you talk about, maybe so. I don't really know, but I don't feel that I'm brainwashed, even though I'm more conservative than I would say I'm conservative as opposed to being a liberal. But I do. He's proved that he's just a regular, everyday thug and not a person who came up from rags to riches.
Yeah.
All he did was just prove, oh, I'm an everyday thug. This is why I did this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I my sympathies are not with him. I'm just trying to make a broader point in that the Democratic Party has just decided to twist. We're talking about liberals here. During my lifetime, here's what liberals were kind of known for. Now, I disagree with them on so many ways that they want a huge federal government that tries to solve every problem, even though the federal government shows they're terrible at solving any problems. So I disagree with them. But at least for the longest time, they were anti-war. That's gone. Now they love war. They used to be anti, like, what we call now the deep state. You know, they were very suspicious because they saw Martin Luther King harassed by the FBI. They were very reticent to accept the CIA because they knew that the CIA was always, you know, meddling around the world, and they were anti-war. Now they love the deep state. They love the CIA. They love the wars. They used to be pro First Amendment, really strong on free speech, more than a lot of conservative people for a time. You remember they... College campuses, known to be liberal places, but they were this bastion of free speech. Now they're for oppressing speech. If you don't agree with them, they call you names and they shout you down, sometimes destroying property to stop somebody from speaking.
So yes, they do.
Yeah, the left has just been consumed with this hate, and it is based on a media narrative and a Democratic leadership and a deep state resistance to Donald Trump. Now, I'm no Trump cheerleader. I support him. I voted for him. I hope he does better than he's done on some things, and I think he's doing good on others.
But what they have successfully painted him as to their followers, not to everybody, but to their followers, is incredibly dangerous. And Smollett is just a symptom of that. All of these leftists who at least were peaceful, thoughtful, ready to talk people are now oppressive authoritarians under this this mind control that they've got them under now.
Well, you were talking about the mind control that they have. Well, I feel that Democrats are lemmings, and they just follow down. I could say that about the Republican Party, but at least we're not killing babies. At least we're not going around saying that somebody did something to us and then have the whole nation in an uproar.
Oh, look, I spend so much time on this show kind of calling out the establishment Republican Party and trying to explain to conservatives so many things that are sold to us as conservatism are not really conservative. The Founding Fathers warned us of a lot of the things the Republican Party is doing right now. They're running us into debt. But with all my criticisms of the Republican Party, with my disagreements with Donald Trump on certain things, the left is so much worse. Now, that doesn't force me into becoming a Republican, because I already tried that and I realized they lied to me. And to be honest with you, I'm still mad at them about it. But golly, the left is so bad now. They are dangerous. They are hostile, and they are running an entire operation based on nothing but unbridled hate, based on no facts. They're just, I mean, when you've got a left that refuses to admit that a child born with male reproductive organs is not actually a boy, you know they have crossed some tipping point into insanity.
Yes, they have. And that's why I call them lemmings.
Yeah,
because,
I mean,
they're just following right along.
Yep. Well, there's lemmings everywhere, but they have, I tell you, where the Democrats are taking their lemmings these days is just a really, really sad, sad place. But hey, thanks so much. I appreciate the call.
All right, have a good day.
You too, bye-bye. All right, got to run to a break. I may go ahead and play this clip, but I tell you what, I'm gonna play this clip about the division in this country and how it's, you know, how it serves the interests of the people that create the division. It does not serve you and me. If you're a Democrat listening to this, hating Donald Trump does not serve you. Look, call up here. Let's disagree with something Donald Trump has done. But it's a debate. It's a conversation. Because I support Trump in half the things he does, and I criticize him in half the things he does. I got Trump supporters that hate me. I got Democrats who think I'm a Nazi because I talk good about Donald Trump and I don't hate him. I mean, this is insanity. And the division and these narratives, if you notice, they do not affect the people at the top. They're still making their money. They're still in office. They're still flying on their jets. They're still going to their cocktail parties. They're raising millions of dollars. And Andrew McCabe did his whole thing, his little deep state coup attempt, and he's out selling a damn book. Those people are doing great. It's us down here fighting with each other. It's just perfectly lined up with exactly what they want to do. I'm telling you what, it is, they're doing it perfectly. But I'm going to do this one little story first, because as we look for all this bigotry here in this country, which is, it's behind every tree. The Southern Poverty Law Center just told us there's 1,000 hate groups in this country, and it's led by Donald Trump's rhetoric. I mean, it's just so asinine. Yet, this same deep state, it's calling out all this hatred and all this hate, and we got the social media companies cracking down on hate speech, which is just code for we're going to crush any conservative views on any of our platforms. It's very interesting what the United States foreign policy. No one's talking about this. There's real racism in the world, and your tax dollars are paying for it. I'm going to do that story real quick when I come back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
What's going to be interesting on this Jesse Smollett stuff, what's the next step? Rehab? Yeah, it's got to be rehab, right? And then he comes back and he tries to rehab his image within the left. I don't know. He may have done so much damage that he can't come back from this one. But boy, the left will try to, they'll try to excuse his behavior. Now, in the United States where we have to look for racism, I want to point out something that Republicans and conservatives fall for too. The media always tries to lead us, and the left tries to lead us to always say there's all this white patriarchy, bigotry and racism and all that stuff. They want to see it so bad that they have to make it up. We've established that throughout the show today and through other days as well. Now, there's another kind of racism that is constantly ginned up, and that's the anti-Semitism charge. And this has actually gotten kind of big these days. If you just participate in a boycott of Israel, if you disagree with Israel, not with Jewish people, but with the government of Israel, and you decide to participate in a boycott of them, which am I wrong? Is that not as First Amendment as it gets? I can boycott Amazon. I can boycott Germany. I can boycott Australia. I can boycott my local government. I mean, you can boycott anything you want to, except that our federal government has weighed in and said, if you boycott the government of Israel, you're an anti-Semite. Now, today's a special day for me because today is the birthday of my Jewish girlfriend, ex-Jewish girlfriend. I'm sorry. She looks fantastic now. Maybe that was a Freudian slip that I think we should still be together. Call me, Sherry. Today's her birthday, so I'll call her. I'm not an anti-Semite, but I'm critical of the government of Israel. I am also critical of AIPAC, which is their huge lobbying arm, which controls votes in Congress. It just does. I'll tell you the same thing about the pharmaceutical company lobby. I'll tell you the same thing about the military-industrial complex is too influential in our government. I make no distinctions. It has nothing to do with Jewish people. It has to do with a government that has got too much influence on our government. But again, just like this constantly looking for racism between black and white or white and Mexican, they try to create this thing where if you say anything about, you know, if you criticize Barack Obama, what'd they say? Oh, you're a racist. We dealt with that for 8 years. Now, if you say anything against the government of Israel, oh, you're an anti-Semite. It's been pretty phenomenal to watch. The left even calls Trump Hitler. I mean, you know, it's very interesting to me that Donald Trump is a good friend of Israel. He's got a Jewish son-in-law and daughter, and yet they consider him. I mean, it's just bizarre. Their narratives clash sometimes. We can't expect them to keep all their narratives correct. It's just they're flailing. But look what they actually do, okay? They claim all this stuff is anti-Semitic. They're always looking for anti-Semitic stuff, yet Obama, Hillary, John Bolton, Mike Pompeo, Nikki Haley, their policies, here's what they do. This was just an interesting story. This may feel a little off topic, but it is this phantom hunt for racism and sexism and all that stuff in this country. Now, I'm not saying none of it exists. Of course it does. We're human beings. There's 321 million million of us. How many millions of jackasses live amongst us? They're always going to be here. We're never going to solve that. But the problem is so overinflated. But here's your tax dollars at work. While we have to, on the left, while they have to invent racism and sexism and bigotry here, while on the left and the right, they have to invent all this anti-Semitism just by criticizing the nation of Israel or AIPAC or whatever, our government overthrew a government in the Ukraine that was friendly to the Russians and installed what? Actual neo-Nazis. Listen to this story. And again, 99% of Americans don't know this. And I think it's important to understand that these people in leadership at the top, they don't believe any of this stuff. They don't care about racism or sexism or anti-Semitism, really.
It's just to make, it's moral self-licensing where they act like they're above it all, yet this is what they're supporting. A shopping mall in Ukraine that is located on a street named for a collaborator with the Nazis decorated a staircase with a large swastika. Images and footage from inside the Horodok shopping mall on Kiev's Bandera Avenue surfaced Monday on Facebook. They show shoppers climbing up and down the staircase, whose middle section stairs feature a large swastika locked in a white rhombus encircled by red, similar to Nazi Germany's flag. The street where the shopping mall is located is named for Stephen Bandera, a Ukrainian nationalist who briefly collaborated with Nazi Germany in its fight against Russia. Go ahead and do your own research. It is amazing. We are now, as part of the Mike Pompeo, John Bolton foreign policy, which is just an extension of the Hillary Clinton foreign policy, we're sending lethal weapons to legit neo-Nazis in the Ukraine. They're our guys over there. This thing in the mall, if you look at it, it's not some freak hung a Nazi flag. You know, this is one of those things that they've been doing around here. It's one of the favorite hoax things around here is they, you know, put a Nazi flag up somewhere and then you find out it was actually, you know, somebody that was a member of the church or what. You know what I'm saying? These hoaxes. This wasn't a hoax thing. This is a well-planted, very ornate Nazi flag in a Ukrainian mall because we have empowered neo-Nazis in Ukraine. Meanwhile, and our government supports that. Meanwhile, our government over here says if you try to boycott Israel, then you are the Nazi. If you support Trump, you're a Nazi. Yet Democrats and Republicans have voted to give lethal weapon to actual Nazis in the Ukraine. Look this up. It's amazing. It is truly amazing. Now, I have more today on some foreign policy stuff that was just really interesting, but I may get to some of it tomorrow. Just some more of these neocon foreign policy successes. Russia and China are now dating. They're set to go steady. They're getting engaged, it looks like. And then we're going to have some real problems because we run around the world threatening and sanctioning everybody. And Russia and China, who are kind of adversarial in the past, or at least competitors, are looking at each other going, well, I guess we'll get together then. Yeah, that's what your neocon John Bolton, Mike Pompeo, Hillary Clinton, all of these warmongers are creating for you. I'd like to get into that, but I'm going to save that. I want to play this little clip when I come back. It's by a guy named James Corbett. I'm sure I'll probably post it to my Facebook page, The Mike Madison Show on Facebook. And I don't know if anybody will watch it. It's a 10-minute long clip, but it breaks down. I think it does a good job of breaking down, you know, what the Jussie Smollett story does. It tries to divide us. Got to keep us fighting amongst each other. What both political parties do, they try to divide us. And believe me, look, the left is so much worse about this than the Republicans are. I really wish the Republican Party was worth something because it would make it so much easier for me. And I could come on air and be really popular in central Mississippi. And I could tell everybody, oh, us Republicans, I could do like every other talk show host. And when I talk about the Republican Party, I would say us. And when I talk about the Democrats, I would say them. And that would make me more popular and more widely accepted because the vast number of people don't want to think for themselves. They want to be members of a team. As a caller said a minute ago, most people are to a degree lemmings. And I've voted majority Republican even since I left being a quote-unquote Republican because they're generally better. I just wish they were worth something so that I could actually, you know, be on that team and be more popular and more people would like me. I want to be liked, but I can't. They're terrible. It's just that, golly, the left is actually dangerous. But the bottom line is this two-party construct, this white versus black, white versus Hispanic, black versus Hispanic, all of these divisions, Occupy versus Tea Party, all of these things, they're created just for you. You unfriending your friend on Facebook just tickles the powers that be. They love it. I just imagine there's so much, you know, the professional wrestling is one of the most illustrative, I think, of most politics. Now, there's general disagreements, and I'm not saying that Trey Gowdy was having cocktails with Maxine Waters at any point in the past several years, but you know what I mean? They just understand the stuff that they're doing. Most people would never put up with. But we don't pay attention to that. We're too busy screaming at each other on Twitter
to notice what's actually going on. So I think this piece breaks it down. I'm going to get into it in just a second. Stay with me.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
When I first kind of understood, began to see the truth behind how the political parties and the system really works, it's referred to as waking up. You know, and this happens throughout our lives all the time. You think something's one way and then you understand, oh my gosh, no, that's not really the goal of this thing. You know, it is. It's a process of waking up. It's really what I try to attempt to do on this show, is try to give you things that you don't hear other places, because if I give you enough of them, you'll finally realize, wait a second, the narratives we're hearing from the media are just not right. And you know that instinctively for a conservative audience. You know that about the left. We just see them making up lies out of nowhere with no basis of fact, and we all point right at them. But we don't see our own failings on the right when they make up things, particularly about wars or this charge of anti-Semitism, some of these other things. They just make this stuff up. When the Republicans talk about Obamacare being terrible, but they want to repeal and replace it, they're not really doing anything for you. They're just keeping the government involved in healthcare, which doesn't work. So it's a waking up process. This is this video that's done by a guy named James Corbett. It's called Mind Control in American Politics. And I've followed a lot of his stuff. He does some very good historical stuff, particularly on false flag things. He's a bit of an intellectual, for sure. You know, he's definitely a thinker. Not a real flashy guy. He's not a Sean Hannity. You see how the distinction I make between the two? On one hand, you've got a thinker. On the other hand, you've got a Sean Hannity. I don't have a lot of respect for Sean Hannity, if you haven't noticed that. I could do a whole show on that. Anyway, I'm going to play this because this is about the two-party thing. Do you think the reason that there's never a third party in any national debates is because the people aren't interested in any alternatives? They're really happy with one of these two parties. Do you think that that's the case? Or do you think the case is more likely that Ross Perot got in and kind of screwed things up? And we can't dare let that happen again. And that's why they don't allow any third parties in. Basically, everybody says we've got a two-party system. While that's patently not true, we got a Constitution Party, we've got a Libertarian Party, we've got a Green Party, we've got a Reform Party. Have you noticed that the media and the powers that be will not allow any of that stuff to get any foothold? And we're trapped in this, well, you're just throwing away your vote narrative and all that stuff? Well, I'm telling you, that is not coincidence. It's not by accident.
From education to the environment, business to banking, housing to healthcare, it seems that there is no issue in the world that the industrialized Western democracies cannot reduce to a simplistic paradigm of liberal versus conservative. In fact, this point has been so hardwired into the modern political system that it has been distilled into a childlike shorthand. Political positions are left or right, blue or red. These convenient, color-coded political choices infantilize the political process, making the public little more than spectators at a sporting event, rooting for one team or another.
And what I'd point out to that is I know there's a lot of people who have listened to this show over the past couple of years, and they've heard me come on here and talk about being anti-war, calling out the ridiculousness of what we're doing in the Middle East, the fact it's bankrupting our country, and actually feeling sorry for the innocent people that are killed in the Middle East. And a lot of people have been brainwashed to think that when they heard me say that for the first time, because I'm probably the only anti-war conservative you can listen to in Central Mississippi, people listened to me and they went, well, who's this leftist on conservative radio? We on the right, we support our boys in uniform. We support all the wars. I hope people are breaking out of that mentality, but that's to this guy's point. Everything's boiled down to be very simplistic. It's very consistent to be conservative and be anti-war, particularly when those wars are bankrupting your country financially.
Without even having to understand the issues being debated. Nowhere has this process of simplification become so refined as it has in the United States of America, sometimes laughingly referred to as the leaders of the free world.
Our third story tonight, the Republican Party's last hope, urging America to just stay home from school.
Understanding the Democrats, that's the subject of this evening's Talking Points memo.
Governing this country with Republicans is like rooming with a meth addict.
It is a fact that every juror on the OJ case was a Democrat. Everybody blames the blacks, not me. I blame the Democrats.
Well,
this inane, lowest common denominator reduction of all political thought has taken its toll on the public. Many are now unable to conceive of what a political movement that is not attached to one or the other ends of this so-called spectrum would look like. Yet, interestingly, this is precisely what has emerged in the past several years, not once, but twice, and not on one side of this left-right divide or the other, but both. In the past 5 years, we have watched the rise of two distinct movements expressing popular outrage at the political status.
And this clip, this story was done years ago because he's referencing the Tea Party and Occupy. This clip is older, that's why he said it was just 5 years ago.
Quo in the U.S. Both movements decried the nexus of power that has developed in the fascistic relationship of big banks and big government. Both movements believed that the bought and paid for politicians have robbed the people of their rights and even their ability to participate in the political process. Both movements believed in mass protest as a way of effecting change in the system. And yet, we are asked to believe that these movements are not only incompatible, but diametrically opposed.
According to this is a point that I've talked about a lot. It's talking about Occupy Wall Street and the Tea Party. If those two movements had ever come together and realized that they both understood that we were being looted in this country by the 0.1%, the 0.001%. If they had come together, they would have been a force. But what happened to the Tea Party? The Republicans went out there and put their loving arms around them and said, hey, you make some pretty interesting points there. Come on back into the Republican Party and let's talk about it. And they were never heard from again. Occupy Wall Street was making some points. You saw Barack Obama, your so-called champion of the little guy, give all of the biggest banks that did some of the most abusive things during the financial crisis. Obama and his Justice Department, Eric Holder, gave them a pass. And Occupy was rebelling against that. And Barack Obama and the Democrats went to Occupy and put their arms around him and said, hey, you know, you bring up some interesting points. Come on back in the Democratic Party and let's talk about it. And Occupy Wall Street was never seen again either.
According to the corporate press, the Tea Party is a fringe Republican movement that arose out of a desire to move the Republican Party further toward the hard right. Never discussed in mainstream coverage of the group is its actual origins in disgust at the Bush administration's 9/11 cover-up. The first Tea Party event was held in Boston in 2006 and involved throwing copies of the whitewashed 9/11 Commission report into Boston Harbor. The movement took off in 2008 in the wake of the Lehman Brothers collapse and the announcement of trillions of dollars of stimulus being directed into the pockets of the Wall Street banksters and their political cronies. Similarly, the Occupy Wall Street movement motivated scores of Americans to actively protest the financial oligarchy and their growing ensnarement of the political machinery of the U.S. government for their own enrichment. People sick of being asked to tighten their belts while banks continued making record profits, backed up and bailed out by debt that the public is being asked to underwrite, drove people into the streets for mass protests and confrontations with the so-called authorities across the country. At their core, these movements sprang from remarkably similar origins, increasing public frustration with the money power dominating the American political process and the dwindling space for public engagement in that system. It did not take long at all, however, before both movements were spun into the left-right political process, with the Republicans effectively capturing the Tea Party movement and steering much of their base into an officially sanctioned Tea Party Inc. The Democrats, meanwhile, managed to ignore the Occupy Wall Street protests while the political provocateurs and change agents steered it toward cultural irrelevance. Those who have studied history should perhaps not find it surprising that the political outrage that is felt so keenly by people on all sides of the political spectrum should be controlled by spinning them off into partisan politics. Nor should they be surprised to see how effective this technique is. After all, the strategy of keeping the people pitted against each other instead of against their oppressors is one of the oldest political stratagems known to human civilization. The phrase divide and conquer is attributed to Julius Caesar and has been used by emperors and would-be tyrants ever since. In the Age of Empires, divide and conquer was used to keep the empire's subjects from rebelling against the emperor. The Romans used it to keep their conquered neighbors competing with each other rather than their foreign occupiers. The British used it to keep their colonies squabbling along religious, ethnic, and sectarian grounds so that the Queen and the British East India Company could more effectively exploit them. In the age of the nation-state and with the advent of republican democracy, the strategy necessarily took on a different form. The idea of a left and right wing in politics stems from the earliest days of the French Revolution, when the National Assembly divided into supporters of the king on the president's right and supporters of the revolution on his left. The notion of competing parties within the government was quickly transplanted to the American context, where supporters of Alexander Hamilton united under the Federalist Party, causing Thomas Jefferson to form the Democratic-Republican Party. The creation of political parties was greeted with uneasiness by many, including George Washington himself, who warned of the potential for despotism under such a system in his farewell address. The alternate domination of one faction over another, sharpened by the spirit of revenge, natural to party dissension, which in different ages and countries has perpetrated the most horrid enormities, is itself a frightful despotism. But this leads at length to a more formal and permanent despotism. The disorders and miseries which result gradually incline the minds of men to seek security and repose in the absolute power of an individual, and sooner or later, the chief of some prevailing faction, more able or more fortunate than his competitors, turns this disposition to the purpose of his own elevation, on the ruins of public liberty. Whatever the intentions of the original creators of the Federalist and the Democratic-Republican parties, by the 20th century the American system, supposedly the beacon of democracy for the world, had become hardwired into a two-party duopoly, the Republicans and the Democrats. This was not the result of mere happenstance, but a concerted plan to effect a divide-and-conquer strategy on the population by the moneyed interests that benefit from having the public pitted against each other. The thinking behind this two-party system that was engineered by the banking and financial interests was documented by famed Georgetown historian Carol Quigley in his landmark work, Tragedy and Hope, published in 1966. The argument that the two parties should represent opposed ideals and policies, one perhaps of the right and the other of the left, is a foolish idea, acceptable only to the doctrinaire and academic thinkers. Instead, the two parties should be almost identical, so that the American people can throw the rascals out at any election without leading to any profound or extreme shifts in policy.
Yeah, there it is right there. They've got this two-party system, which continues to just chug along. You know, you throw one party out and the other one comes in, yet the debt keeps growing. The wars keep going. Poverty isn't solved. None of the big issues change. If you notice this, and then you start to look and you say, who are the Democrats getting their money from? Who are the Republicans getting their money from? And you find out it's the same people. It is the exact same lobbyists and special interest groups running both of these parties. So when you throw one out, what happens is you get a different rhetoric. And that's why I compare it to professional wrestling. Yeah, you get a different rhetoric. But so often, well, almost all the time, you get the same actually underlying policies. And I talk about a lot of them on the show. You know, you may get one party that wants to raise your taxes by 10% and one party that wants to drop your taxes by 10%, but you don't have anybody saying, you know what, I think we should stop taking Americans' money. It's theirs. They earned it. And our government's just too darn big. You know, that's they don't even allow that kind of conversation in the national debate. I'm going to finish this clip when I come back.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
Final segment here. I'm just going to finish this up. You know, finding our way out of this two-party trap is not easy. I understand everybody wanting to stop the Democrats. They are truly dangerous at this point. What's depressing to me is that the Republicans, at least in Mississippi, we had a chance to elect somebody that might be a little bit different than a rhino. Because, I mean, everybody I talk to is, oh, those darn rhinos. And then we elect them. Maybe wonderful people in real life. Not anything personal. I don't know any of these people that we elect. But
seems like we don't seem to learn. It's a little depressing to me. But the two-party system's got a stranglehold on us, and we need to understand that we're not being served by it.
Late last March, I had the chance to talk to independent news commentator Charlie McGrath of Wide Awake News about this strategy of divide and conquer and how it functions to keep like-minded people apart on so many issues.
Well, I see it as a damning mechanism that is enslaving humanity. I mean, I see it as you and I were talking before that we started the program, probably, in my opinion, the most important thing that I can do, the most important issue facing is the separation in our country. And it isn't just the United States, obviously, it's globally. But the ability to divide and conquer is a time-honored tactic in militaries have used, and it works just as well in a political, social, economic, theological landscape. I mean, and you know, doing this for now 4 years, seeing how polarized people are and how they're, you know, indoctrinated into one camp or another, it is how all corruption can grab a foothold and maintain course, is the fact that we fight amongst ourselves rather than look at the people or corporations that brought us here.
The situation would almost be laughable if it were not so tragic. Having been immersed in the left-right facade their entire lives, many have begun to see the world and those around them through that prism. Either someone is on the same side as they are, or they are the enemy. There is no room for nuance, no subtle distinctions to be made, no room for alliance or cooperation on matters of great import. Perhaps most devastatingly, there is now little room for any analysis of the powers behind the political throne, the oligarchical financial interests that could care less whether this or that president has a D or an R next to their name, whether a prime minister is Labour or conservative, whether an MEP identifies with the left or the right. Deprived of this understanding of the real nature of political power, the public is truly powerless to identify the real problem at the root of today's political crisis, let alone even begin to address it. It is perhaps ironic, then, that at the end of the day, the supposedly serious commentators, analysts, and talking heads that are paraded in front of the public to comment on this system are little more than buffoons and court jesters, keeping the public entertained and distracted, while some of the most insightful political commentators of our day have been the comedians who have been bold enough to expose this system for what it really is.
You don't need a formal conspiracy
right.
When interests converge. These people went to the same universities and fraternities. They're on the same boards of directors. They're in the same country clubs. They have like interests. They don't need to call a meeting. They know what's good for them. They're getting it. And there used to be seven oil companies. There are now three. It will soon be two. The things that matter in this country have been reduced in choice. There are two political parties. There are a handful of insurance companies. There are about six or seven information companies. But if you want a bagel, there are 23 flavors because you have the illusion. You have the illusion of choice.
Right.
You don't get the real important choice. There's no freedom of choice.
That's a great point. Right.
So there you go. George Carlin finishing it off. It's interesting. And I start my show off every day with a Bill Hicks clip where he talks about the puppet on the right and the puppet on the left. Look, it's a difficult situation to get out of. The Jesse Smollett thing is just an example of how they are forcing us to divide ourselves. I wish the left would stop falling for it. I'll be one of the few conservatives out there to tell you, you're smarter than that. You're smarter than to fall for these things over and over again. But it is. It's brainwashing. It's manipulation. It is manufactured hate. Making up stories to create conflict where none exists. I don't know how we get out of this, but I do believe it is one of the more important things in this country and one of the only things that may keep us together in the long term. That's all the time I've got. Stay tuned for Doc Livingston, and I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.